All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February 20th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great for wherever you are at. It is Tuesday. Back to work. Been off for the last couple days. Sort of been miserable. Miserable. I'm actually not miserable, but you know, it's so funny. I'm 55. All I seem to think about is retirement, right? And what I've gathered is when I don't work, I'm sort of miserable. So I have this side of me that's like, cannot wait till I can retire. And then the other side of me knows that you're going to be miserable. So what am I doing? What do we do here? How do we balance this? Because self says you shouldn't be working. Well, self doesn't say that at this moment. We all know I need to be working, and I'm grateful to be working. But at some point, I talked about that commercial I saw where the guy's like, you know, her desk was emptied by the end of the week. She died, and she left her 2 weeks vacation, her pension, her 401k. And I'm like, damn it, I need to be outside. I need to be living this life. I don't need to be spending my whole life at least working. At least that's what self tells myself, right? But humility is like, hey, working's good for you. And it doesn't, I don't even have to listen. I can just tell. Today will be, out of the last 4 days of my life, today will be a great day because I will work a full day, right? I will interact with clients. I will generate revenue for myself and family. And I'll feel good at the end of the day. Where yesterday, yesterday was a nice day. I did have lunch with my dad, but then came home and pretty much was lazy, right? It was cold, laid around, really felt pretty pathetic, struggling with my weight a little bit. And I don't even know if it's my weight or if it's just my lack of activity. I'm feeling sedentary, and when I feel sedentary, I feel fat, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I need to do something. Just really not a great day. So up today, active. Just had a great phone call. My buddy Tiff just called me. Her and I used to do another podcast, The Full Throw with TNT, which was hysterical. I thought it was. I used to love that podcast. Her and I were so funny. And I hadn't talked to her, right? And because we're busy, right? Her kids and my kids are all around the same age, so she was getting her daughter ready for college. I was getting my son ready for college. And so just got busy and hadn't been able to connect. And then, you know, a little bit of time goes by and a little space between. And then I know for me, I'm like, you know, how come she's not calling me, right? And she's probably like, how come he's not calling me? And we start to get in our heads a bit. And then I'm just like, you know what? You know, do your thing, I'll do my thing. And for some reason, we haven't talked for like 6 months, it feels like. And she texted me this morning, hey, man, we need to connect. I called right away. Good morning, hey, what's going on? And hopefully we can have coffee or something soon. She's awesome. I'm so glad she texted me this morning. And that's a great way for me to at least start my day, you know, reconnecting with old friends.
I'm here with you. I feel
House of Dawn, Triumph of the Day. I'm trying to play, you know, I want to play some newer music. I you know, I've talked about playing podcasts. I'm an old man, right? You know, and back in my day. And, you know, there is some truth to that. But the bigger truth is that I have not really been searching around for new music, right? That's on me. And if I'm not going to look around for new music, I can't sit around on my soapbox and tell people that there isn't any, because that's not true. And that's a band right there. You know, I dig Spotify. You know, Spotify, these music platforms, part of the problem, you know. Actually, I'm not even going to get into that. But what I do like about this Spotify is it shows, like, so this is a band called House of Pain. They have 2,300 monthly listeners, which is very, very low. I mean, seriously, 2,316 monthly listeners. And they're very good. That's a very good song. So, you know, check them out. I don't know. Don't check them out. But I shouldn't say that there isn't any good new music. I just haven't been looking. So I'm going to try to be a little bit better. I found a great playlist. I found a wealth of a plethora of music inside this playlist of all sort of the style of music I care for, that I like. And I'm going to try to play some other new music and see if we can shine a little light on some other bands. But that is House of Dawn. And that song is called Triumph of the Day. And so check them out. Good band. Excuse me. Yeah. So it is Tuesday. Went to the meeting last night. Step meeting, of course. Part of me is so bored with these step meetings. I'm starting to get a little grumpy about the steps. I went to the meeting last night. It was on the third step. Read along and then just actually shut the book and listened. I get so tired of reading. It's so funny. And then I sort of, you know, I focus so deep on the reading. I'm like, oh my God, I get it. I'm so sick of reading. And then I try to back up, you know, a couple feet, look at the picture a little wider. And I'm like, well, you're just reading, right? It's not that big of a deal. You're here for the hour. What's the big deal? And I don't know what the big deal is. I guess it's just the devil trying to get between me and my program. But I'm really getting tired of reading. And now I'm starting to, because I was on the third step. That means next week we're doing the fourth step. The fourth step's a big read. Ugh, right? I'm like, maybe I won't come next week. This is fucking dark. This is demon shit right here. How this disease starts to get in between me and my program. And I go to a lot of meetings, and a lot of them are step meetings, and it is a lot of reading. So I'm not surprised that I'm not bored or getting frustrated with all the reading. I just have to try to figure out what's a good plan, and you know, I need a different meeting, or I don't know, but we'll worry about that next week. But this week the meeting was on the third step, which I do, you know, out of it's weird. I think out of the 12 steps, the third step, when I came into, sorry, I had to grab my book. I had, you know, when I came into this program, this was a step that always left me scratching my head, right? Left me scratching my head. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. I was stumped on this step. Right, I was stumped. You know, the first three steps, the back to basics, the beginner steps. This has turned out to be the foundation. Not these three steps have not only been the foundation of my recovery, but these three steps have really been the foundation of a relationship with the higher power that I had no clue I could have. Right, I shared this last night. The problem with this step for me was that I had imagined, painted a picture of a relationship with God that I wanted but could never have, right? I wanted but could never have. I've said this before. I think the relationship that I wanted would be considered like the relationship with Alexa, where you say, "Hey, God."
"Yes."
And then you just ask God dumb questions, right? Or fix this and fix that. And it just happened. as a self-centered person, of course that's the relationship I want, because a self-centered person really wants things that make life easier for that said person, me, right? Dear God, can you get me around this traffic? Can you give me more money? Why? To make my life easier, to make where I'm going faster, right? It's always about serving self. And I wonder, I talk about self and humility and all this, and then I wonder if people really even understand what I'm talking about. And I think it's pretty clear, but you know, there is a self-centered side of me that serves self, makes life easier, more convenient, and then there's a side of me that is more about helping others, you before me, the opposite of whatever self wants. And so, you know, to live that life and try to chase that relationship and then finally in the end be disappointed because right away it didn't happen, right? But at the same time, hearing about people having a relationship with God and going to church and just being very, very lost, but still thinking I know what I'm looking for. And so for me, what I've learned over time is that I had to reset the settings, right? I had to go reset back to default settings, right? I had to go back before I thought anything and let all of what I thought a relationship with God was go. And I had to try to figure out what my exploration on this journey, what this new relationship is going to look like. And what I found is it's a relationship of peace, right? What I've learned is that, and I've said this so many times, and I'll just say it one more time, right? It's this release of fear from my life. And when I shared last night, when I drove home from that meeting the first time, just being free of fear, right? And how good it felt. Like, I don't know how it would have felt to have the relationship with a God that I was searching for back in the day, but I know how this feels, right? It's not always something that I search for and find. Sometimes it's the byproduct of the work that I do, right? You do a lot of hard work, and then you start to feel, you know, you start to feel good or accomplished because of all the work. It's sort of the same thing. You do, or I have done a lot of work in these steps trying to, you know, work on this stuff. And the byproduct of that has turned out to be this sort of new relationship with God or a new relationship with the higher power or a God of my understanding, right? Turns out there isn't a, for me at least, there isn't a God that I can say, hey, God, fix this, right? Turns out there isn't a God that I can say, hey, God, give me this, right? That's the God that self has always wanted. But now that I realize and have put a spotlight on self, I realize that that isn't possible. And as long as self's involved, I'm never going to have a relationship with something that actually lives in the humble side of me, right? Because that's where, to me, God lives. It's in the humble, free of self side, right? It's a byproduct of all of this work, removing self and fear. Who's afraid? Self's afraid. Humility is not afraid, right? And so understanding that, removing all the fear, and starting to realize that maybe this is a relationship. Maybe this is better than I could have ever expected, right? Because if I'm also working on this, you know, the side of me that has a lot of fear, and I'm removing that, maybe I don't need as much from God, right? You know, and we shared in the step last night, reading the step, and I for some reason, I was getting very frustrated, right? My arms are crossed. I have feelings. I've got feelings going on, and I don't understand why. And I wasn't even going to share, right? I'm at that point. I'm like, that's it. I'm just not going to share. I'm just going to listen. And my buddy calls on me, and I start to say, you know, this has been a journey that I didn't expect, right? You know, this, I talk about that, you know, because how can I say, first of all, the step can be very complicated, and the Joe and Charlie tapes really, really broke it down for me. And when I heard those guys really changed my whole perspective on a relationship with God and these steps, right? Made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, our lives, actions over the care of a God as our understanding. You know, what does that mean? People, that's where people get hung up. How do I turn my will over to a God? I guess maybe the word care, right? The care of God is maybe where I got off the rails, because I was trying to figure it out last night. I'm like, why have I been so confused on this step? And then all of a sudden I hear the Joe and Charlie tapes and I'm like, oh shit, I get it. Just make better choices. And then in return, you get better actions, right? You get your life is better. I have lived both ways. My whole life has been based in self-decision. So I made decisions based in, that were selfish, not considering others, the outcome. You know, it's like that, you know, I talked about that lady telling me that I should open a salon in my basement. This is exactly what this step for me is talking about, right? It's, you know, in the past I'd have said, yeah, that's a great idea. I should. You don't think anybody will find out? And I would make a decision. I would make my will, my thought. And then I would implement it into my life, my actions. And then I would get caught. And then I'd be like, these sons of bitches, right? It's somebody else's fault. No responsibility, no accountability, a victim, right? And then you're just, God knows how much money you invest into something like that. And all the step is saying is stop doing that. Right? Stop doing that. But I think the God part is where I kind of got hung up on. And what I've learned for me, right, for me, is that God lives in the good decisions and the devil lives in the bad. Right? We admitted, like it says in the first step, we admitted. I think that is the first, that's to admit, right? Up until that point, I've been living in under the umbrella of the devil, right? Under the umbrella of self. And at some point, I stepped out and I admitted, right? I came out from under that fucking dark umbrella into the sunlight and I admitted I have a problem, right? We admit we are powerless, right? For me, it wasn't about the words after that. The first two words were what was important. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. But to admit, that is humility. That is the first step towards, right, a relationship with something. Something humble. Something godish. Something godlike, right? Something peaceful, right? But when we admit, when we finally say, I surrender, I give up, a peace comes over me or came over me that day that I had never felt. Is that God? I don't know. I think so. I personally absolutely think that is God. The only reason I wouldn't is because I had this other idea of God being this, like Alexa, right? I've learned that's not true. Over the time, over the work, the byproduct that I'm starting to get from working these steps is this relationship with something new. It's peace. Right? Of course that for me is God. For me, right? That's for me. But that is it, right? I stepped out from under the umbrella and admitted I had a problem. And from that point on, I felt a little better, right? Oh, you know? And I think that's what these steps are. I've been living my whole life has been decisions of self. And it's all the book is saying, it's like, stop doing that. Turn our will, our thinking and our lives, actions over the care, positive direction of God, right? Of good. If you don't like God, add an O. If we add the O, it says, you know, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of good as we understood it. The care of good as opposed to the care of bad. And so once I've started to understand that, I'm like, okay, this is all, now I get it, right? Better choices, better actions, better life. It's very simple. The wording is weird, right? Under the care, right? But these are all, you know, when I made that decision to not open the salon in my basement, that was a humble decision because self was screaming, do it, right? If self is screaming, do it, do the opposite. And it starts to become a little more clear, right? I had to learn. I had to be reprogrammed. I was under the influence of the devil. I was possessed. And I'd been that way for a long time, right? I'd been that way for a long time and didn't realize it. Did not realize it. Shared the other day, completely blown away when I found out that it's actually not a drinking problem I have. It's a self-centered problem. It's a selfish problem. It's a devil problem. It's an attachment, right? I absolutely do believe it. I don't see any devils, right? I don't talk like a devil, but my behavior and my thinking is all pushing me. When I live like that, is pushing me right into hell. And it's awful. And I'm so grateful that I'm starting to see it, but it is that it's not that complicated, right? And I was listening to people talk last night, and they've become so complicated. They're so confused by it, and I understand. I said last night, I have been sober for a long time, and it's really just been in the last couple years that I started to understand what the third step really meant. And so I can't tell people, what are you doing? This isn't that complicated. It's everybody's journey. You gotta experience it on your own. I think that, working the other steps, right? When I found out about self, and then we admitted, and then we came to believe, and then, it's just this slow process, right? Building trust, letting go, recognizing, going through painful moments, right? When you find out the real truth of our selfishness, right? This self-centered life that we live and how tortured it can be. And we start to come out of it and we start to make better decisions, right? our actions start becoming better and our life starts to become better and it feels good. And then understanding how we have to keep, the work isn't over. We have to keep maintaining it and we have to keep working at it. And the rest of the steps, when we get, the first three steps to me are the basic ones, but then we start to, look at our morals, right? I came in here with none. I had to learn about this, right? And then how these things can, start to bother us. And, the old Mr. Jones story. And it just keeps teaching me more and more and more and about character and cleaning it up. And then, making it's just amazing. It's just an amazing journey. It's all chipping away at that freaking huge pile of fear that we live with, right? And, I shared the other day, I'm leaving the salon and I'm going to go work in another salon, and fear tried to creep in. Like, I wonder if your clients will follow you. And I think they will, but fear tried to get in there. Come on, let's get this one going. Let's start thinking about what happens if your clients don't come back. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not concerned. I show up every day, right? Like my buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should work out. That is definitely not happening. And so, listen, if I show up, I'm not, and I'm sober, and I'm, working a program, it'll be fine, right? It'll be absolutely fine. I am not afraid. And I said this last night, and I believe it today. These steps, this program is to remove fear. And today, I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. And if there is something that comes up that's scary or that I would be afraid of, absolutely can work it out. That's what's great about the fourth step, right? We start to take a hard look at what is behind, these decisions. What is behind, if I was going to do a four step on my clients not coming back, I guess it'd be pride and ego, right? And used to back in the day, I could take a look at it and I'd be like, okay, I need to change that, right? Or I need to change this. I've said this before, one of the things about owning a salon is I've always been great at certain parts, but there's other certain parts I wasn't great at, right? The cool nuances that, I won't say just women, I know men have, my buddy Drexel has got a lot of nuances in his salon, but, just these nice touches that I'm more like, give me the work, I'll do the work, but I'm not cutting flowers in the morning, I'm not putting candies in the bathroom. And I've always felt like I've fallen short in that department. So if fear was going to creep in, it'd be like, well, you don't do those things, and those things could be important, right? And so there's in my life, there's always been times where there are things I can change, but sometimes, like for instance, that I just have to say this is who I am, right? And when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, people come because they want their hair done. Right, they don't care about candy in the bathroom, and I do think it's a nice touch, but I have to just keep reminding myself. And so, because I'm like, well, now do I have to learn how to do all those nuances? And I really don't. And the nice thing about leaving is that I can go work at a salon with a couple of people that really are great at that. And so that's even going to remove less fear, or that'll remove more fear out of my life. I don't know. It is a... One thing I know is it takes time, right? It takes time. And if you're new and you're working on this program, you know, just work the steps, go to meetings, and try to be honest and, you know, work with a sponsor and enjoy it, right? Because, and I would, if I was going to say one little thing, I would say, you know, maybe we need to, or for me, what I definitely needed to do was forget any relationship that I thought I had with God and be open and willing to accept a new relationship. Because the one that I made up in my head, right, was based in self. And the one that I have today is based in humility, right? This is just a byproduct of doing work. And I really like it. Now, I don't get anything, right? I don't get to ask God for anything. I just have to trust that if I do the right thing, it'll all work out. And I'm pretty good with that. All right, let me see. Let me do the read the daily reflections, and then I will get out of here. Let's see. The gift of laughter, February 20th. All this juncture, his AA sponsor usually laughs. At this juncture, his AA sponsor usually laughs. Okay. That's the 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 26. Before my recovery from alcoholism began, laughter was one of the most painful sounds I knew. I never laughed, and I felt that anyone else's laughter was directed at me. My self-pity and anger denied me the simplest of pleasures and lightness of heart. By the end of my drinking, not even alcohol could provoke a drunken giggle in me. When my AA sponsor began to laugh and point out my self-pity and ego-feeding deceptions, I was annoyed and hurt. But it taught me to tighten up and focus on my recovery. I soon learned to laugh at myself, and eventually I taught those I sponsor to laugh also. Every day I ask God to help me stop taking myself so seriously, self too seriously. I agree. And I'd like to talk about that in a podcast. I've gotten to this place where I just don't laugh. I'm just not, like, it's, I'll laugh, but it's got to be pretty funny. And then I start thinking, why is this person even laughing? It wasn't that funny, right? What is that about? Is that a fake laugh? I start to get into it, and I've just begun to take myself too seriously, right? Last night at that meeting, I was all taking myself too seriously, and I need to not do that. It's stupid. I need to lighten up, right? Lighten up. I don't know. Read that one. Check it out. I hope everyone's having a great day. I'm, like I said, I am back to work, and I'm super grateful for that. Yeah. Have a great day. Bye.